Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, Dixieland, Hamish.
Hello, welcome to... Yes, good to have you in my land.
What are you doing at your land?
Well, you just come on in and have a look.
Thank you, creepy bearded man. Ahoy to me, Bebop, Jack.
Well, come on in and have a look at Bebop as well.
We're not. Doesn't have to be a strip club. But, I mean, is it? It's the types of music, the types of, like, oh, jazz. Of
you've got it.
Yeah.
Is it? Dixieland. Types of jazz. Really? Dixieland, Bebop, and I'll be swing.
Cool, man. Yes. What's bebop jazz? How's that? I mean, dare I ask, dare we get the show off to a slow start? But what's the differential between bebop and, say, the other types of jazz?
Dixieland, I mean, it would have been good if I actually had examples now rather than having to
There'll
try
be no it. Further questions at the press conference. We just need to reiterate again, they are three types of jazz.
It is traditional, old style-y, you know, like the original, like
Just admit you don't have the notes.
Bebop was the mid-1940s. That's okay, when they started going really fast. They're really fast shuffling, that was bebop. Like Dixieland feels a bit more ragtimey, you know, like that that feels the old, and then swing, you know, swing.
Question answers
they'll
itself.
They'll be thrilled with that.
Who'll be thrilled? The International Jazz Association. Are you sponsoring these?
No, the list.
Oh, the listeners.
The listeners. Ahoy also to Nick from Sydney.
Ahoy, boys. And number 6, just got some huge news to share with you all after getting off the phone with my dad, and I couldn't believe it when he told me that he's buying a Volkswagen Tiguan. I said, no way. How'd you get your hands on one? And he told me that there are, in fact, 8 Volkswagen Tiguans going for sale in the Sydney region today. 8 Volkswagen Tiguans. Doesn't get much better. All right? The most sought-after car in all of Australia. Get your hands on them quick.
Well, we know how long it takes to upload that message, so by the time it came through, they would absolutely be gone. We got someone sent through on the email the other day a picture of a Tiguan in traffic. With one bumper sticker and one bumper sticker only on it that just said, stay humble. And the person that sent it through wrote, good to see that they know what they're sitting on. They're on a highly collectible car, but you must acknowledge how blessed you are to have one. Stay humble.
Hey, a few adventures already started this year. Let's jump into this one. I need a dollar, that's what I need. Our efforts, as we are the key campaigners for hard currency, I would say the leading campaigners for them in the world. I mean, maybe vending machines out there.
But vending machines now you can tap as well.
A guess. You might not know this, Ando, but I bought a Pepsi from a vending machine the other day. Mm-hmm. I hadn't vending machined for a while. 600 mil. Throw a number at me.
350?
No. 5+.
Yep, Jack, way more in touch. Yeah. $5.50. $5.50 for a Pepsi.
You have to tap.
You have to tap.
Fill up the machine. They're actually lucky.
It's got that metal on them. Yeah, it'd smash through the floor. You'd have to reinforce the floor, lose all your profits from the vending machine.
Yeah, because it would just the bin would have to be getting picked up too regularly, changed over.
$5.50. I'm not saying, I mean, vending machine is notoriously not the cheapest way to buy a soft drink, but that is huge.
Hey, we're still discussing which way we go. We're following up the Royal Australian Mint to see, and it has to be signed off by the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, if we are to get ourselves, we don't want our faces on it. Apparently you have to be... better to be dead to be allowed to have your face on it.
Yep. Or small number one, footnote, see Wiggles coin.
The Wiggles coin. They reckon that they were characters, not them.
Oh, fair enough.
So if you and I put on a funny moustache or something and pretended we were a character, we'd allowed to be on there. But again, I don't think that's the rule. We don't even want our face on it. It's more about the sentiment.
The sentiment
of the show that has championed dollar coins. You see us in the flesh, we give you a dollar, put us on a coin, and you've had a lot of, pretty unremarkable collector's edition coins that I think that we'd certainly stack up alongside. Got this email from Sarah, just a byproduct. She says, guys, read the H&A on the coin. I know Jim Chalmers' hairdresser.
Okay, here we go.
He gets his hair done by the same place my husband does every time he comes into Queensland. So it's when he's travelling, so that's interesting.
His guard would be down.
But a lot of gossip during a haircut, isn't there?
That's one of your top talking times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I felt
would
like
we get the message to the hair? I think we don't need, because at first I was like, okay, is this like the park run plan where we all have to go in different wigs and
the channel's going to be too tight.
I don't think we have to go and be sitting in a different salon chair and, you know, have to slip the hairdresser $100 to go, it's a wig, but play along. You know, keep the chat up. I need to talk loudly to get the guy over there to listen. I think we get to the hairdresser and say, could you slip a few ideas into the chat?
Mike, can you follow that up for us? Have you been listening?
He's doing a haircut.
At the time I turned around and he was gazing down the hallway.
It is always worth asking.
So we'll try and get on to Sarah and see if we can get her to tell the hairdresser to slip it in. Maybe we'll audition the hairdresser to see how she'd slip it in.
Yep.
That'll be helpful. In the meantime, Ham, we also learned Joel, who was our coin nerd that came on, he mentioned the Perth Mint. We have two mints in Australia.
Did not know this.
And the Perth Mint also make legal tender. This is exciting, Ham.
We've been sent
I'll slide a box across to you. Because
weight to it.
We've got sent something from the Perth Mint.
Have you looked in these boxes?
I haven't. I have actually. But okay. I'll go look in there. I haven't.
It sounds like you might have. It does sound like you might have.
He
had a peep.
Ahoy, boys. We've very much been enjoying hearing all your quests to get your mugs on an Aussie dollar.
Great.
We do make legal tender.
That's huge.
However, circulating currency rests with our good friends at the RAM.
What is the difference between currency and legal tender?
So let's come back to that. So while you work through the finer details with them, here's something to tide you over during the two-year wait. Good luck, your friends at the Perth Mint. P.S. The Perth Mint happily accepts the H&A loyalty card for all famous gold tours. Just enter the code GUSTO at checkout and you'll enjoy the full 10% discount. Don't even need to give us the 5% back.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I guess that's what it's like working in a mint. Must be nice.
Haim, let's open.
Oh, okay.
Both Hamish and Andy are opening for the first time.
Thanks, Jack.
It looks the size of a dollar coin, slightly bigger. Oh, wow.
Well,
I hadn't
looked
at both sides, actually.
Okay, so let's go. You've obviously got your heads and your tails side. Your tails the same? Because it's got us, the outfits from the podcast thumbnail where we were in the AirPods.
Yes.
It says $1. So it's sort of like... It's sort of kind of like a novelty, you know, it's the shininess, the goldness of a dollar. It feels like it's the size of a dollar.
Instead of five kangaroos, which is on the dollar coin, I think they've got five
weasels. Which is really nice. And then must be nice, the crest up the top. Over the other side, I've got, it's mine, says Hamish Blake, but you probably got an Andy Lee, the Perth Mint 2024. And then a line drawing of my silhouette, I guess, although it actually looks a lot like your friend Jacko, Ando.
Oh, yes. And so, Haim, sling us yours. Sling us yours.
Here you go. Don't you think that looks like Jacko, Michael, your friend?
It doesn't look like you.
You look older, definitely older, Haim.
I'm not having a go at Jacko. I think Jacko's got a very handsome face. I think they've made me too chiseled.
Big, you look.
And I also I've also had a beard for quite a long time, and this is a clean-shaven man.
It looks a bit like Biden. You look like
Biden's rough. That is a bit.
You do look like Biden.
I don't look like Biden. I look like Jacko, the handsomest of Andy's friends.
Okay.
It's really nice, but you can tell straight away that you can't spend that.
Yes.
So
yes.
Are they saying this? You can make this and say it's worth a dollar. Is it sort of like our Hamish and Andy coin trick where you go, we're just saying it's worth this amount, but it's not actual currency?
I don't know, and that's why Neil Vance of the Perth Mint joins us right now, Ham.
Great, because it's a bloody good coin.
It's a great coin. Neil, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Neil. First of all, I mean, you guys know this because you don't get into the mint game unless you're confident of your coin-making abilities, but it's a beautifully made coin.
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, one of the biggest challenges about making these coins was trying to make you guys look regal on the back of the coins.
Yeah, yes.
And is that and why you didn't Andy... send Jack one?
Well, he is represented in the five weasels on the back, which is, of course, Jack and Jack in all his... Well, I was going to say it's Jack and like four of his siblings, but it's more like Jack five times in all of his different weasel poses because the weasel's doing different things. So it's Jack looking for airfares, Jack looking for peanut butter, Jack looking for golf clubs, like all the different... The weasel looks like distracted, so he's everywhere looking for stuff. So I love that effect.
Neil,
can you explain to us, Neil, the difference between currency and legal tender?
Yeah, look, basically the most simple way to put it is the currency is what you'll carry in your pockets to spend in the shops. However, legal tender can be applied to gold and silver coins that are collector or investment bullion coins. So that's probably the difference. You would not use them day to day, but they are legal tender of Australia.
So you could use them, but shouldn't.
Shops aren't obliged to take them.
The shops probably wouldn't take them, and the fact is the metal in them would be worth more than the denomination.
Remember we did this, Andy, the
so
royal
mint. This is worth more than a buck. Mm.
If it was gold or silver, it would be worth more than a dollar, that's for sure.
Well, what are these made of?
It's aluminium bronze.
Hmm.
sounds expensive. Look, the coins you've made us here are beautiful examples. This is probably as good a coin as anyone on the planet could ever get that isn't the actual official currency. If we're still hungry to get the official dollar coin, what would your recommended strategy for us be? Is it smart to find the treasurer and get in his ear, or should we go through more official channels? What do you think?
Well, look, I can tell you one comedian we have put on a coin many years ago, but it was actually Dame Edna Everidge. So, again, it comes back to that
character.
Being a character.
Mm. So, but do you think we've got them under the silhouette rule? We don't want our faces on it. We're happy with a silhouette.
Silhouette is not going to work, boys. I can tell you that right now, unless you're dead.
What about a weasel? Just a weasel?
I don't know how many people would buy a weasel coin, but that could be done.
They're not allowed to buy them. We're putting them into circulation.
Into circulation.
How do you, we made it, so let's just say best case scenario, Jim Chalmers goes, look, I've been hearing a lot about this when I go for a run. My hairdresser won't stop about it. I think it's what the Australian people want. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the Hamish and Andy coin. Let's just say we get to that point. How does it get put into circulation? Do they make a million? Do they make 500,000? They just give them to banks? Do they just sprinkle them through cash registers? How do you get them out there?
Okay. Well, first of all, the only two characters or people I can think that have been put on circulating Australian coinage, and I think they were both approved by a Prime Minister and the Palace, was Sir Donald Bradman and Pope Benedict. As you can see, very rarely happens.
High bar.
If it did happen, then it's just made and literally wrapped up into little cardboard tubes and away it goes to the banks and into circulation.
Wow, and how many? Like, what? Say if it was a dollar, how many do they
have? How many Pope dollars went out?
Well, we made silver Pope dollars. So back then, the mintage was about 10,000 from memory.
It's not that many.
Yeah, so it's quite rare to get your hands on it.
So, again, that was a collector coin.
Okay, but when you say collector coin, it still looks exactly like, the back looks exactly like a dollar, so it ends up amongst all the dollars.
Correct. So to be legal tender, it has to have the queen or now the king to be legal tender.
Right. Yep. Has anyone seen one with a king on the back?
Are
they doing kingies yet?
Yes, they are out there. They're still, they've really only started flowing out since January, so there's not too many. And the Perth Mint launched our first coin with a king in January as well.
Well, that would have been a big day.
It was a big day. Big queue outside the mint.
Jeez. All right.
How big's the queue? What are we talking?
That was a couple of hundred.
Gee, that's right. Good.
Yeah, mate, people love it.
For a kingy boy.
Just gives you, whets the appetite, doesn't it, for 2 years' time when we do have the green light and everyone's queuing up outside banks hoping to get a roll of Hamish and Andy dollars.
Neil, you know this stuff well. Be honest with us. What's our percentage chance of getting it?
Zero.
I'll ask you to...
That's a toughie to round up.
I'll ask you to give us a little bit more hope. Neil, thanks for joining us, mate, and thank you for sending us that coin.
You know what, Ando? The Perth Mint option could be pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, matey.
Thanks, boys.
Guys, I've mentioned on this pod before and to you that Beck has way too much empathy. She feels things strongly.
According to you, though, but you do have...
I have zero, yeah. But when
you do have famously low amounts.
When they were handing it out, I was at the toilet and she took mine.
Maybe that's why you're good together, because you balance each other
out. Yeah, people say it's a lovely thing, but I feel that she takes it too far. And I'll give you two examples in recent times. We went to the Grand Prix not long ago and they had a V8 supercar race after the qualifying day. So they had a... And something had happened to the Castrol car, like whether it was an incident on the far side of the track that we didn't see anyway, or it was just poor driving or the car's not great. But it was 400 metres behind the rest of the whole race.
Something's gone wrong.
And it'd be a pretty tight... It's a pretty tight crowd on, like, pretty tight pack on that day, because it's not that many laps.
It's not that many laps. It's a so there's like woo, doo, 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 doo. And then there was a 20-second wait. Yes. And then it would come past. Beck turns to me with this shocked look on her face and says, "What happened? What's happened?" And I said, "Well, it's it might have had a little accident, or it's a shit car, or she's a shit driver.
You know, sometimes went, it's motorsports."
Oh. And then the next lap.
I was still hanging in there.
30 seconds in. Beck looked at me and she was just getting more and more distressed for the little Castrol car that could.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you've had to adopt a V8.
Before, like, the third last lap, she yelled out to me, "They should let it catch up." Which is not the rules of competitive racing.
Not even at under-8 athletics do they do that. And they won't rub its nose in it at the end, but there's no let it catch up.
So I was laughing. We got distracted. Then we kind of got bits disinterested in the race. It finished. And Beck goes, "Yes, yes, it's caught up," as I went round again, not realising that the race had finished and they were just doing that warming down lap. And I didn't have the heart to break it to her that, it came dead last by 30 seconds. Anyway, that was an incident. Maybe, and you could argue that she was being empathetic to the person inside, which you could say that's fine.
But who would have been fine, by the way? I mean, it's just another day, you know, exactly. These things happen.
My problem with Beck is she feels sad for objects at times, which is bizarre. I get home last week and she says, "Can you get something from your office? I can't go in there." And I'm thinking, spider, it's a bug, spider, And I said, "Well, is it spider, bug?" She goes, no, it's none of that. I'm upgrading my laptop and I'm transferring it from one to the other and I just feel so sad for the...
Hang on, for
the old laptop, because it just
it
has
knows
to sit
as
there.
The life force is draining out of it.
It has to sit there and just hand off all the information, and knowing it will never be used again. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't think it feels that way."
So she doesn't want to look at it.
And I said, "But if we relate this to real life, like when jobs, like consider it a job.
Yeah, it's a handover.
It's a handover. Like often someone finishes a job, and then you have a little handover period." And she goes, "No, but it wasn't working for me. It was just a friend with me. It went everything and knew everything about me." Like, that is kind of true, I guess. But
it's not going to squeal. Like, it knows.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Well, but it doesn't know.
Like the idea of that I came in here and go, "Hey, Haim, this is Dave. He's going to sit with you for an hour.
He's going to listen to everything you say."
If you wouldn't mind just bringing him up to speed on our running jokes and a few of our highlights over the last 20 years.
And he's got an AI thing. He only needs 15 minutes of your voice. And then that will
That's
be
it
that.
You, mate.
My question to you is, Ando, knowing that Beck feels extreme pity and that, like, motivates her. What does that put you as the partner?
What do you mean?
Well, is it Are you the Castrol car?
She's taken pity on,
and she saw all these other hunks zooming past, and she was like, "Oh no! Look at that! Look at that one!" It's been a while since I've dipped into the world of a magazine. What was the last magazine that you read?
Jeepers. A golf one.
Well, yeah.
It's still a few years or so back. Yeah.
Always at the hairdresser I go to, it's Men's Health. And yep. It's just always the same. Men's Health is just the same magazine every single week, which is a different person. It's like abs, sex, like black and white front cover. Mm. Just same mag.
Yeah.
But that's not the mag I dipped into. It was like one of those kids' magazines. Mm-hmm. That's aimed at like 7 to 10 year olds that you see at the supermarkets. Now, I can't remember the name of it, but like K-Zone or something.
K-Zone
like that.
When I was growing up was the one.
Really?
There used to be one called Mania. Mania, and they give you like video game reviews and like cool stuff that's happening, and it's like, you know, full of game stuff and like.
That's got to be even less relevant to kids now. Like, well, I mean, we knew what paper was.
Like, Zoe bought it for one each from the kids. She was coming through the airport, and I think she's seen them. And they often come with, like, a plastic thing on the front with some, like, toys or whatnot.
Yep.
Zoe actually used to work at Mania. She used to work at one of the mags called Mania and do, like, when she was in, like, her early 20s and do, like, video game reviews. So I think there was a part of her going, hey, guys, I've bought you this. It's a bit of nostalgia. This is, like, where I started, these magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I mean, I don't want to cast K-Zone in the wrong light here in case it wasn't K-Zone, but it was just a magazine of that ilk. Yeah. Anyway, I'm flipping through. Good read. Like, they're doing, you can tell, and again, I'm not trying to have a go here. I feel like you can tell there's like one, maybe two people having to put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Because there are a few typos and stuff, but like, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
And you just know there's no huge circulation. I don't think that kind of magazine's supporting like hundreds of staff.
Hmm.
So they're doing their best. And again, like a magazine, you've got to come up with something every month, and there is a limited amount of stuff that kids love.
And so they probably can't use the what other magazines doing is lying. They probably
they actually have to come up with like creative things for the kids to read,
which they just can't just pick a celebrity and say this person's done this when they haven't.
That's true. So it's one of the main levers taken away from them of the magazine industry.
Yeah,
you really got one arm behind your back. So therefore, I guess that helps explain like what, you know, you have to come up with stuff every month. I sympathise with that pressure. I flick open one page and it's like the prank section. Right. And I was like, here we go. What's happening in the prank world? You know, you and I in our earlier days, Ando, we were known to do a prank or two.
Mm-hmm.
I believe our entrance music for the TV show Rove, if people remember Rove, for 1 or 2 years was the song Original Pranksters.
Yes.
Was that not our like music? So I was like, all right, let's see what's happening. It's been a while since
Zoe's doing the nostalgia thing with writing articles.
Let's pranks. There's a word I haven't heard in a long time. I was like, all right, kids, gather around. Let me have a look at some of these. Let your old man tell you if these are good pranks or not, right? Straight into reading them, I begin to go, okay, it's tough to fill this mag. Because straight away I'm like, no one's done this.
No
one's done this prank. The first one I read is called Mayo Mouth. And the setup is this. Grab a tube of toothpaste from the bedroom, screw off the top, and empty all of it out.
No way.
Now take a jar of mayonnaise from the fridge and carefully spoon the mayo into the empty toothpaste tube.
Impossible.
Which is so impossible, there's even a saying about it. You can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. So these poor kids at home just going, why have I got a hand covered in mayo? And an empty toothpaste tube. But they're like, you know, screw it back on the next morning, like fill it right up the next morning when you know, your brother goes to brush his teeth. Mouthful of mayo. Even assuming you could get it in the tube, you'd notice. Like, you're obviously going to notice and be like, what is that? How are you getting this toothpaste and mayonnaise are not interchangeable. But straight on, like, okay, this is where we're at, is it? These aren't like a collection of classic pranks. Someone's like job has been think of pranks.
Or it's the type of prank you've seen on a Dennis the Menace type TV show or film.
That was set up by an art department.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next prank. Okay. Now, this prank doesn't have a name.
Oh.
I'm going to call it the hat prank.
Mm-hmm.
The photo, the heading above this prank is called Water Trap, and it has a photo of three hands holding three glasses of water. But the prank is not about that. I suspect that was the wrong photo and headline inserted. Again, it is just, I think, one or two people putting this magazine together. So I was, because Sonny goes, Dad, I don't get this one. Why is that a water trap? And I went, yeah, I think that's either from last week's edition and they haven't changed the photo, or they just haven't matched the photo.
Good,
so
prank.
This is
itself.
A hat prank. This is the prank. That's the prank. Yeah. Put the wrong heading on a prank article. It will confuse your readers. Now, guys, this is good. Okay. Again, you tell me if you think this one's ever been done. But man, I love it. The setup. So all of them have the setup and the punishment, right? The setup. Get crafty and make a bunch of hats.
Wow.
Hot, okay. Hot out of the gates. It's a big ass.
It's a huge ass. Okay. Right? So
make a bunch of hats, all the same color, but each one with slightly, each one's slightly bigger than the last. Okay, so actually make quite a lot of hats. Next time you're at a friend's birthday party or sleepover, secretly take all five hats with you in your backpack. So it's now they've put a number to it. So it's five you have to make. Arrive wearing the normal size hat. Then throughout the day, keep switching to increasingly bigger size hats. Keep switching to bigger size hats until you're finally wearing the largest one. How long will it take your buds to know? Crafty Edward. Oh my God. I just can't get the image out of a 9-year old turn up to a party going, Glenn, is that a homemade beret?
I've got to go to the toilet, guys.
Hang on, Glenn. Leave your bag. Leave your bag. No, I'm going to take the bag. I'm going to take my bag. Oh, and then it's like the punishment. I go, don't worry, the joke's on you this time. So there's no punishment to worry about, right? And it's like, but your buds will be keen to outdo you with their own prank. So get ready. So like, be alert.
Someone might go with bigger shoes.
Steve starts wearing bigger and bigger bow ties. Oh, so I read this. I was like, hey, this has never been done. Like, clearly, this is just made up. It was like, you know, hey, the magazine's got to be in by 6 o'clock. It's 5:58. I propose we do it.
Yes.
I propose we do the hat prank, the hat trap.
Now, where are we going to do it?
We'll set it up. So already, to do a bit of research for this, I got on ChatGPT and I was like, what's the five easiest hats to make?
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Increasing difficulty. Yeah. Beanies are very easy.
Yes.
Berets feature.
Yeah.
A bandana, which is not really a hat, which ChatGPT admitted, but bucket hat. So bucket hats are kind of like...
Yeah, we know. We have one at hamishnews.com.
Yes. We have a must-be-very-nice bucket hat. So that's in the top five to make. Mm. I think we could go the bucket hat. I think we could do it. So then I go, hey, can you give me like the pattern? Can you give me the sewing pattern?
Yes.
Generate the sewing pattern.
Then we can make.
For five, this was my prompt to ChatGPT. I want five bucket hats that are the same style that have increasingly large brims. Please make it for a man. I know my hat sizes are 59, so please make it for a man with a size 59 hat.
Increasingly
large brims. The final brim, and I just made up, and I was like, how big do we want to get here for the final hat? So I made up a radius of 60 centimetres.
Wow, okay. Like
a 2-foot brim.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT comes back, and it said, it's like, it should be noted that the final hat, so it's like, here's how you do it. But even ChatGPT was like, look, settle down here. I feel like you might never have made hats before. I feel like I've got to tell you something. So it should be noted that the final hat with a brim size of 60 centimetres is extraordinarily large for a hat.
This is exactly what we want.
It doesn't know it's for a great prank. It was like, it's extraordinarily large for a hat and really should be only made as an artistic piece or a conversational piece. It won't have a functional use. Right? I'm like, hey, computer, you don't get it. It's comedy. We're doing a prank here.
So when are we going to do
the prank? And it's also said, beware
prank.
That the actual with a 60... centimeter brim. It's almost 2.5 meters around the outside. That's a lot of fabric. And I was just like, again, mate, not what I asked you to do. Pipe down. We'll take it from here. I'll get cracking on the hats.
Yeah.
And then
we'll work out the social situation where
I think we work out the social situation. Yeah. And this would just be huge. Mm. I mean,
Yeah.
Think of the looks on our buds' faces.
Yeah.
As they try and piece together this zany scenario of, am I going crazy or is that brim growing?
Hey, people go to hamishnandy.com all the time and upload their special skill. This is something that they think they're brilliant at. There's no kind of championship or tournament that formally recognises their skill. Where the show you come to show it off. And if you're good enough, we'll give you a coin, an H&A coin. Just a bit of a follow-up to the guy that said he could get, well, his partner said that her partner, this guy, could get rid of all his clothes, take them all off, including socks and shoes, in under 2.5 seconds. He's gone cold. I think he's probably gone home and tried it and realised it's more of an 8-second job.
Yeah, just panting, going, what was that? And her going, 23. Yeah. Okay, how do we shave 21 out of this? But it got the crowd up and about this year. It got people fired up. Sets the level. That's about where we're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably a little bit too impossible, but that's what the crowd wants, and we have a similar... Well, no, let's not build it up too much, but I think we have an adequately amazing skill today.
Came to my side of the fence. It's taken 7 shows to get to our first special skill this year, but Bernard Wilson, he wrote in, I can identify any episode of Bluey, the obviously animation sensation Bluey, in a matter of seconds. He said almost instantaneously, it was in brackets there, when provided a tiny excerpt of footage. Bernard joins us now. Ahoy to you, Bernard.
Ahoy, boys.
Bernard, ahoy to you and gusto for today's attempt. Mate, I would assume this is because you have young kids and you've spent a good deal of time watching Bluey, and whilst that is rewarding in itself, it's also then provided you the thought, oh, hang on a sec, I might be the best in the world at this.
Well, actually, I don't have any kids at all.
Mm.
I'm 20 years old. I just got into it.
Mate, and that's what you get for assuming on my side of the fence. And also, there's a lot of people that don't have kids that watch Bluey. It's a beautiful piece of art.
But when did you first discover it then? When was your access point to Bluey?
I was on schoolies and all my mates were off their face. And I was just sitting in the corner. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this show a go.
What's the most opposite thing to schoolies I could do right now?
I could watch children's television. That's awesome. And so,
you got that deep, because I would just assume, because there's lots of adults that love Bluey, but I wouldn't say that, you know, I'd say it would be rarer to go back and watch it dozens and dozens of times.
Oh, there'd be some that I'm pushing on triple figures on some of those.
Wow. Got a favourite app?
Curry Quest.
Okay. Lovely.
To our data,
there's roughly 150 episodes that are in existence of Bluey.
Yeah.
You're across all of them.
100%.
Okay. We were sitting down, we're like, okay, how do we test this? You've got a Zoom link in front of you that we'll be able to fire off the clip.
So you can see it.
So you can see it. But we thought it might be fun if you could verse someone who... we thought could also be pretty good at this, just to give people like a barometer. If they don't watch the show or they're not aware of how impressive this is, would you be interested in taking on someone who, again, this is not their claim, it's our assumption, could be pretty good at this? Are you happy to go against someone?
That'd be fun.
Okay. Would you please welcome the creator of Bluey, Joe Brum. How are you, Joe?
G'day. Hey, Mitch. Good, mate.
Joe, thanks for joining us. Bernard, you're going to up against the creator. Now, Joe... I imagine you meticulously watch every single frame of this thing and you've written all the episodes, so you would have a very good knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah, well, we'll find out, I suppose.
Bernard, how are you feeling about this matchup?
Well, I'm pretty chuffed to be on the phone with him.
Well, don't let that distract you. I mean, it'd be weird if say, you made the Australian Open final and you went out and went, whew, a bit giddy that Djokovic is over the other side. You meant to try and beat your opponent.
Yeah.
Joe, have you, and you'd see the data from, like, you know, all over the world. It's like the biggest show in the world. I mean, it's across the US. Is there a big spike during schoolies usually of Bluey being watched?
No, but it's a market we're trying to work on.
Yeah, well, you've got a great ambassador, Bernard. How about we run like this, Sam. We got four, maybe?
Yeah,
I think four. If there's 3 out of 4 for Bernard, he gets it.
Yep.
But if he doesn't get it and Joe doesn't get it, it gets wiped clean and he keeps going. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, that's good. I can get around that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we doing a buzz in to say?
No, I think we send them all to Bernard. Go, it's his special skill.
All right, Bernard locks in an app, yep. And then Joe could override if he thinks it's a different.
So wait
episode.
The whole 5 seconds. Oh, however long.
Yeah, you can watch the whole thing.
Take it in.
That's fair.
Don't make it go. Are you ready to go, Bernard?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, good
luck,
boys.
Let's jump into it.
He loves Bluey the Sky. Bluey the Sky. We'll see how much in a minute or two.
Yeah, what Andy said. There we go. Nice little song from both of us. All right, here we go. This is the first episode, not to be confused with episode season
we'll
one.
We'll say first
one.
Excerpt.
First excerpt. There you go. Good luck.
Woo! It's the guy who owns the shop. And he doesn't look happy.
Hmm.
Oh, no. Had this before when someone's gone.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, you've got
you
it.
Got it? Oh, okay, Bernard, what do you think?
Driving.
And yeah, well, Joe, would you agree?
Yeah, well done, Bernard.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Agatha is just peeing on the curtains. It's a whole debacle. Paying for milk, not paying for milk.
Joe?
Joe knows.
Joe knows what I'm talking about. He wrote it.
Although in America, we changed it to scratching the curtains. She wasn't allowed to pee on the curtains.
Oh, do you get a bit of that, Joe? Is there a bit of censoring going on around the world?
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah, what is there one that annoyed you?
That one.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I mean,
well done.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Comes... Exit two.
You want me to fill some water balloons up? Oh, they're off.
I love this episode. Reminds me of my grandma so much. It's Handstand.
Oh, my God. Joe? Yeah. Joe, would you agree?
I would agree. Well done, mate.
Joe, did you know, or are you just now getting that position where you think Bernard's so confident that you'd like
just slipstreaming Bernard?
No, I knew that one.
Okay, 4 years ago, that one first aired November 12, 2020. Bernard does know his stuff. Are you watching him, Mike, out there on the Zoom? He's not using any kind of AI.
There's no way to cheat.
Okay, third excerpt. Let's give it to Bernard.
Louis, come on. Chew with your mouth shut.
Sorry, Dad. I keep forgetting.
That's okay.
I watched that one last night.
Oh, my God.
That's Puppet.
What? Let's just check with Joe. What do you think it is?
I got it wrong twice, but then, you're right, it's Puppet.
What did you think it might be, Joe?
I thought it was Show and Tell, and then I said Unicorse because Unicorse is in it, but it's actually Puppets, Bernard.
Yeah, the callback for Unicorse.
Joe,
well done.
Would you remember every title of every episode?
Yeah, I think season one, if there's some season one ones, they may test me. It's been a while since I've seen them, but you do watch them upwards of 40 times each in the process.
That is true. Well, I mean, it's such a strange quiz format we've got here because it's sort of like, you know, come on this quiz. Someone locks in the answer and then the other guy on the quiz goes, yeah, I agree. I do think Belarus is the capital, well, so I also think that.
He's got a coin. Bernard,
you've
we
got
haven't
a coin.
Had that for a long time on this show, but let's give him another one because, I mean, at risk of ruining this great run, Ham, but we settled before.
No, I agree. Let's go right to the end. This is probably the most obscure one, isn't it?
This is the most fun I've had all week.
Yeah, Bernard's not going anyway. He's having an absolute time of his life.
Okay, excerpt four.
Oh, don't you start. Just hide us.
Okay, come on, quickly. Come in the back.
Granddad.
Oh, Joe?
Yeah, well done, Bernard.
Incredible. I want to try and stump him.
Okay,
let's throw the last one.
Okay,
last one. Actually, we had a spare.
Yeah.
Go for it, Jacko.
I always make you laugh.
Doctor.
He's got it.
Oh, my God.
Joe, Bernard. that's one from season one. Would you have picked up on that one, Joe?
I would just need to check whether it's pluralized or not.
Doctors. I think it's doctors.
We've got it as the doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah, you're both wrong.
unfortunately, we're stripping you all of any accolades. No, I mean, all right, well done, Bernard.
The bar was high. Yeah.
I sort of want to give one to Joe too, but then, you know, you did create the show and people would like.
We'll
be outrageous.
We'll
You'll get
Joe
a token of no value. Joe, an absolute. Yeah. That's also to be treasured. It comes with no value. You can absolutely assign your own value to it when you receive it. But
we attribute no value to it whatsoever, Joe. Just so you know.
Just so you know, it's a token of no value, but a token of high value, Bernard. A Hamish and Andy coin, an analog coin. That is huge.
What a way to kick it off. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Guys, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't get to this last week, but April Fool's Day, and you know we love a prank. We're working on the hats, which we've just discussed. Quick one.
Yep.
Had a good prank at home that I thought in our apartment that we've just moved back into, there's in the shower, there's the overhead shower, and you turn a knob to make it to handheld shower.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Seen that.
And we never ever use the handheld. Because it's like on a really thin one, about kind of chest high.
Any time I've stayed in a hotel, the handheld is always the thing that comes on first.
Yes.
And it's freezing cold and it goes straight on your chest. Like it's almost like they set it up for that.
So it's another fun little prank I'm banned from Beck.
You turn it.
I get out of the shower and then switch it to the handheld.
Yep.
And we'll get the beep on this, but most mornings I hear, I'm not doing that anymore.
That's a good prank. If you had taken a metal working course and built 5 increasingly larger sized taps, then we'd be talking. Like then it would be show quality prank, but it's a fun at home prank. Yeah,
that I'm not doing anymore. Haim, April Fools, this came out from Maltesers, Australia. Yeah. I've just sent it to you both. It was an Instagram post and it says, we've had an aha moment. And then they've shown a pack of Maltesers. What do you notice differently about the packet?
They've done it. They've finally spelt it as a Malteser.
Yes.
They've put the A in or back in. And so, then underneath from Maltesers Australia, we've taken Hamish and Andy's feedback to the top. We're here to tease our new name change, Maltesers.
Now spelled with an A. You'll see it starting roll out from packs from April. It's an April Fool's joke. The joke's still on them.
Well, yeah, why would you?
Can I say, this isn't
this
a joke.
This is like one of those jokes going, hey, you've won Tats Lotto. Great.
Yeah, great.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, okay, that's not a great joke.
I know.
You got excited.
You're giving us something that we all think should be the way it is.
If you insist, this is the thing, this is our message to Mars. If you would like people to call it Maltesers,
yes.
Which you clearly do from your ads. Spell it properly.
Spell it properly.
What you're selling is Maltesers. So we'll say it properly if that's the way you're going to spell it. So now we're all chasing each other around here. We're just saying it the way you're spelling it. Now you're changing it back to the way we've been saying it.
Yes.
So we'll start saying Maltesers, but I bet now we find out it's a joke, you're going back to spelling it as Maltesers.
So
we can't catch each other. We're in a house of mirrors here.
I don't think that's a prank.
Yeah.
That's my. I know we've talked a lot about pranks this episode, but
it's really like the prank is 364 days a year, and on April 1st they did one non-prank day.
Yeah, the joke is we're not doing a joke. The joke is we're such jokers. Today we're being deadly serious before we go back to being absolute pranksters with the rest of our business.
Anyway,
God, Toblerone didn't come out with blunt ends, did they? we're really getting some attention.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.